Yud Dalet Amid Beis, page 28, all the way at the bottom of the page. Yud Dalet Amid Beis, in the English side, is 28, all the way at the bottom of the page. The Gemara says, these few lines we learned, but last week and the 2 weeks that we didn't learn, so. Amid Abba Barbachon, Amid Rabbi Yechonin, Abba Barbachon has said in the name of Rabbi Yechonin, Kol Laisa Aseh, any negative commandment, shekod me eser, which is preceded by a positive mitzvah, like in all of you get malchus. Meaning as follows. We learned in the Gemara many times, a negative mitzvah, which is followed by a positive mitzvah, like we learned, you're not allowed to steal. If you steal, return what you stole. So it's followed by a positive mitzvah. The din is you don't get whipped for it. Even though normally for negative commandments, if you transgress a lav, you get malchus. But anytime there's a lav which is followed by a positive mitzvah, you don't get malchus. What happens if it's in the reverse? The Torah says a positive mitzvah, and then the Torah says the negative mitzvah. So it's not that the positive mitzvah fixes the negative mitzvah. Like the Torah says, don't steal. If you steal, give it back. So then, so to speak, the positive mitzvah fixes the negative mitzvah. What happens though, if first you have a positive mitzvah, and then the Torah says, don't do it. Okay? So Rabbi Yechonin said, such a negative commandment, you get malchus. You would get whipped. So the Gemara says to him, top of the page, Amru Leysen, he said to Rabbi Yechonin, to Rabbi Babachon Amr Rabbi Yechonin, he said to him, Amarta? They said to Rabbi Yechonin, did you really say it? Amr Lahu, he said, no, I never said such a thing. Amr Rabbi, so Rabbi said, Halikim, I swear, Amr, that he said it. Uksiva, not only did he say it, it was written, Vitanina, meaning, it's written, I can prove it to you from Chumash, and I can prove it to you from the Gemara, that it was said and it was written. When he says, where do I get such a thing? He says, Ksiv, it's written. Where do we see it's written from the indicator? It says, the Yishalchum in Amachana, you have to send away from your camp all the impure people. Whoever is impure, you have to send away from the camp, which is a positive mitzvah. Then the Torah says, V'lo yitamu es machaneihem. And you shouldn't make the camp impure. So what's first? First is the positive mitzvah, send everybody away from the camp if they're impure. And then the Torah says a negative commandment, don't make the camp impure. Yet, Tanina, yet it says in the Mishnah, Habal Migdash Tamei, if somebody comes into the Beis HaMikdash when there's Tamei, okay, he gets malchus. He gets whipped. Aye, it's a positive mitzvah followed by a negative mitzvah. Yet the halacha is, he would get whipped. Meaning, if a guy goes into the Beis HaMikdash when he's impure, he's going to get whipped. Aye, this is a case of a positive mitzvah first, followed by the negative mitzvah. Yet he gets whipped. So you see that the truth is, that you would get whipped. And therefore, Rabbi Yechonin, when he said that if the positive mitzvah is first, then the negative mitzvah, you get malchus. It's a true statement. He said it. He had no reason to change his mind. But the Gemara asks, but why did Rabbi Yechonin change his mind? Like the Gemara said, they asked him, did you say it? He said, no. Meaning, I'm changing my mind. So why did he change his mind if we prove from the Chumash that a positive mitzvah, which is followed by a negative mitzvah, you do get whipped? Why did he change his mind? So he says, Mishum dekasha le'enis, he had a problem from the case of what's called a rapist. What does it mean? The Torah says, if a man rapes a woman, he has to marry her, and he's not allowed to divorce her the whole life. So it's a positive mitzvah. Again, first, the positive mitzvah. He has to marry her. Yeah, if she doesn't want, then she doesn't have to. But in the old times, like we learned last time, such a woman wouldn't be able to get married so fast. It's not like today's world. In that world, it was considered such a blemish, nobody wanted to marry her. So she would... as much as she hates the guy for doing what he did, but at least she'd be married. You know what I mean?
Is that only for rape, or if she was
no, only rape in this case so far. So the Gemara is saying, what happens if the guy raped her? So then he has a mitzvah of marrying her. Then the Torah says, don't divorce her. So what comes first? First the positive mitzvah, marrying her, and then don't divorce her. And yet it says, Einish Shegidush, what happens if the rapist did divorce the wife? He married her, but then he divorced her. So now he's transgressing a negative mitzvah that the Torah says you're not allowed to divorce her. So what should he do? So the Gemara says as follows. Im Yisrael hu, if he's a Yisrael, meaning not a Kohen, if he's a Levi or a Yisrael, who's allowed to marry a divorcee, so the Gemara says, what does he do? Machzir, he remarries her, vein alike, and he won't get whipped. You know, let him just remarry the girl, because he could. Im Kohen hu, if he's a Kohen, like, now the problem is like this, if the rapist is a Kohen, and he divorces his wife, a Kohen cannot remarry even his own divorcee. If a Kohen is married in any under any circumstances, a Kohen is married and the Kohen divorces his wife. Not in this case, just any case. A Kohen divorces his wife, he's not allowed to remarry her. That's why we learned many times in the Gemara that when the Kohenim have bad tempers, the Gemara says. Nobody here is a Kohen. But the Gemara says Kohenim have bad tempers. And a Kohen would get angry at his wife, and right away he would run to Bezin to divorce her. Now Bezin understood, right now the guy's nervous. He's going to calm down, he's going to regret it. And he's not going to be able to remarry her. So in the olden times, they had a special type of a get for a Kohen that took a very long time to write. It was just a process that they made it take a very long time to write, that by then, hopefully, he'd calm down and he'd change his mind. Because once he divorces her, he can't remarry her. So the same thing in this case. The rapist married her, then he divorced her. So he can't remarry her because she's a divorcee. So what happens? Like, he has to get Malkus. Ve'ena machzir, he doesn't remarry her. Because he can't. But he transgressed the negative mitzvah of divorcing her. The Torah says, you're not allowed to divorce her. So he transgressed the negative commandment. So he can't remarry her. So he gets Malkus. But if it's a Yisrael, the rapist was a Yisrael, and then he marries the woman, then divorces her, what does he do? He remarries her. And he doesn't get Malkus. Right? So the Gemara says, Im Yisrael hu, if he's a Yisrael, machzid ve'ein alayke, he can remarry her and he doesn't get the Malkus. The Gemara said, Amai, lei sasa shekod miyasu. It's a negative mitzvah which comes after the positive mitzvah. Velilkan let, he should get Malkus. Meaning, this is, the Gemara is explaining where Rabbi Yechanan changed his mind. Here's another Gemara. Rabbi Yechanan said a statement that if there's a positive mitzvah first, then a negative mitzvah, you get Malkus. That's what he said. Because the positive doesn't fix the negative. When don't you get Malkus? When the positive fixes the negative. Don't steal, give back what you stole. But when the positive mitzvah comes first, like in this case, marry her, don't divorce her. So it's not one fixing or rectifying the other. So Rabbi Yechanan said before that anytime there's a positive mitzvah first, followed by a negative mitzvah, you get Malkus. Right? So then the Gemara says, you know why Rabbi Yechanan changed his mind? Because he learned this braisa in a way that says that the Yisrael could remarry her and not get whipped. But over here, the positive mitzvah came first. So he should get whipped. Why doesn't he get lashes? He should get lashes. So because of that, Rabbi Yechanan changed his mind. But the Gemara is going to say, here's a different case. And really, Rabbi Yechanan should not change his mind because of it. Why? He says as follows. Amar Ula Ula says, over here is a completely different story. And let me just give an introduction to this Gemara before we actually learn the Gemara. The Torah works in learning. The Torah does very strange ways of learning. For whatever reason is, in the infinite wisdom of Hashem, Hashem in the Torah has strange rules, which sounds strange. Obviously they're not strange, but does they sound strange? Every word in the Torah is exact. If I can learn out law A from law B, there's no need for the Torah to tell me law A. If I can learn it out, A from B, so why are you telling me A for? It's extra. But if the Torah does tell me A, even though the Torah really doesn't have to tell me A, what's the rule? The rule in the Torah is, if I don't need it for A, because I can learn A out from B, I'm going to use the law for a different case. I'm going to use this extra word, or this extra law, the Torah is teaching me, for somewhere else, where I could use it. Okay? So now the Gemara says as follows. Amr Ula, let's see it inside, then I'll explain it. Amr Ula Ula said, L'yeimar l'isiyya li'isha ba'enis. The Torah doesn't have to say, the Torah doesn't have to teach me by a rapist that he has to marry the woman. Even if the Torah didn't tell me he has to marry her, I would know anyway you have to marry her. Why? Because ligmer mimetzi shemra. I can learn it out from another law in the Torah what's called a defamer. Okay? There's a lot of laws in this book. There's a law in the Chumash as follows. One case is we learn the rapist rapes the woman, the Torah says you have to marry her. And you're not allowed to divorce her. Then there's a similar case. A man marries a woman who is supposed to be a psula, a virgin. And the day after the wedding, he comes to Beis Din and he says, hey, she's not a virgin and she committed adultery after we did the kedushin, after I gave her the ring. Because in the olden times they did that. Nowadays we do it all under the chuppah. But like we learned, in the time of the Gemara, they gave the ring 12 months earlier. And 12 months before the wedding, she was already not allowed to be with anybody. So this guy comes to Beis Din the day after the wedding, and he's Meitzi Shemra. He's a defamer. He defames her. What does he say? He didn't do anything to her. The husband comes to the Beis Din the next day and says, listen, my wife is not a psula, she's not a virgin, and she committed adultery after the Kedushin. So therefore, she deserves death penalty, which is the punishment. So the Torah says, if they can prove that he's lying, if he can prove that she's a that he's a liar and that she is a psula, that she's still a virgin, so the din is, he has to stay married to her. Obviously, he doesn't have to marry, he just married her. He has to stay married to her, and he's not allowed to divorce her. The same mitzvah, it's a different case. But the same mitzvah is, he has to marry her or stay married to her, and he's not allowed to divorce her. Huh? He has to pay a fine. He has to pay a fine. Huh? To the father. That's because she's not an adult yet.
For me, there's a difference in both of these cases of the getting divorced and getting remarried. That's something you can fix. Or if I steal something and I get it back, then in both cases, we've gone back to the original state.
Yeah, but one is whether the positive mitzvah.
Even though it's positive to negative and negative to positive. In the case of going into the Beis Mikdash, the Mikdash,
Well, the Gemara is diverting from the impure guy for a second. Let's first finish this, and then you'll understand what you're asking. No, you're asking a good point, but based on what the Gemara is going to explain, we'll understand that. So the Gemara says as follows. In two places in Chumash, the Torah says, marry her, you can't divorce her. One is by the rapist, by Einis, and one is by Meitzi Shemra. Now, Meitzi Shemra did less of a crime than the guy that raped. He raped. He did an action. This guy just said some words, you know, and accused her. Right? Now, if the Torah says, by Meitzi Shemra, you must stay married to her, when he didn't do anything, he's not so guilty. So by the rapist, for sure he has to stay married to her. Right? So now, when the Torah tells me by the rapist he has to stay married to her, that's extra. Because I would know that even if the Torah didn't tell me that. Because I would say, if the defamer has to stay married to her when he didn't do anything, the rapist who did something to her, for sure has to stay married to her. Right? Now, therefore, the mitzvah of staying married to her, I don't need. So the Gemara says, let's play chess. If you don't need it before it, we're going to use it for after it. In other words, make the negative mitzvah first. The way it's written in the Chumash, the positive mitzvah is first, followed by the negative mitzvah. But if we don't need this positive mitzvah, let's move it to somewhere where we do need it. Where are we going to move it to? After the negative mitzvah. So then it's a negative mitzvah, followed by a positive mitzvah, and that's where you don't get punished. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechon didn't have to change his mind. Rabbi Yechon had said a statement that if the positive mitzvah is first, followed by a negative mitzvah, you get Malkus. So he said, no, it can't be, because the guy that raped and remarried, the Gemara says you don't get lashes. So that proves Rabbi Yechon is wrong. So Rabbi Yechon, Ula says, no, you don't understand what's going on over here. This is extra. So we don't need it before, we're going to put it for after. So rather than the positive mitzvah coming before the negative mitzvah, we're going to put the positive mitzvah, glue and paste, whatever. Cut and paste. We're going to cut and paste the mitzvah before and put it after. Then what do you have? A negative mitzvah followed by a positive mitzvah. And therefore, a negative mitzvah followed by a positive mitzvah, you don't get Malkus. But if it would be a real positive mitzvah first, followed by a negative mitzvah, even Rabbi Yechon could say you get whipped. Why not? You don't have any proof differently. We want to prove it from the rapist, but the question from the rapist is no good because it's not a proof, because we don't need that pasuk, so we're going to stick it afterwards. Yeah, but you don't get whipped for speech, only for action. You don't get whipped for Lashon Hara because it's not an action. That's Adam Zayim. That's a unique... But
jealousy that's in your mind.
You don't get punished for that. You don't get punished for thought or speech.
But it's force.
If I say to somebody, I'm going to kill you, I don't get punished. If I kill him, I get punished. If I say I'm going to kill you or hit you or beat you or cheat you or whatever. I don't get to. According to Hasidus, it's worse because it's a deeper blemish. He's not a witness. It's only by witnesses. Only by witnesses. Adam Zaymim is only by witnesses. And it's exerts a cause of it. I mean, it doesn't make, you know. Only by Adam. Doesn't matter. He's not an aide. He's not a witness. He's a husband. Now the Gemara says that the Gemara is going to refute what we just said. That's what the Gemara says. It's going to refute one after refute after we. So the Gemara says, Ula's premise was that we could learn out the rapist from the defamer. Because if the defamer has to marry her, for sure the rapist would have to marry her. So now the Gemara says, though, Vakata Enis Mimetzi Shemra Le Gomer. The Gemara says, your whole premise is wrong. Your whole premise is you want to learn the rapist from Mimetzi Shemra, and therefore it's extra, and therefore put it afterwards. So you can't do that. Why? The Ika Le Mifrach, because we confuted by saying, Ma Le Mimetzi Shemra Shekin Leika Mishalim. By the defamer, there's two issues. You get whipped, and he pays. But, so therefore, the rapist, though, doesn't get malchus. And the Gemara learns that he doesn't get malchus. In other words, the Gemara's, in order to have what's called a kal v'chomer, you have to have, the Gemara says like this, before the Gemara said, if the defamer doesn't have it, if the defamer, I'm saying, is stuck to marry her, certainly the rapist has to marry her, right? Because the rapist is worse than the defamer. So if the defamer has to stay married to her, the rapist for sure has to marry her. But now the Gemara is saying it's not true. I'll show you that a defamer is worse than the rapist. Because the rapist only pays a fine. He doesn't get whipped. But the defamer gets whipped and pays a fine. So he's stricter. So you can't learn out the rapist from the defamer by saying the rapist is stricter. And therefore, if the defamer has to marry her, the rapist for sure has to marry her. The Gemara says it's not necessarily true. Because I'll show you that a defamer is worse than a rapist. The defamer gets malchus and pays. The rapist only pays and doesn't get malchus. So the whole premise of the Gemara now is off. So now the Gemara is going to go in reverse. And the Gemara is going to say like this. Okay. The defamer is worse than the rapist. That was the Gemara's conclusion now. So you know what? Let's work the whole thing in reverse. If the defamer is worse than the rapist, let the Torah tell us by the rapist he has to stay married, and we'll learn out the defamer from the rapist. Now, therefore, the extra that you must marry her by the defamer is extra, because we're learning it out from the rapist. Right, but we don't need it for the defamer. So let's put it for the rapist. But if you don't need it before by the rapist, put it afterwards by the rapist. That it's a positive following the negative, rather than the negative following the positive. In other words, Gemara is going back the opposite way. Understand?
But actually, so many things are double.
Every time there's something learned from it. So you know, we definitely learned something from it. But that difference between the two is what we learned. And over there, by the way, it's not that the Torah is telling us the laws twice. The Torah is telling us the whole Dvarim is a repetition of the first four books. But when the Torah says a halacha, and the Torah tells details of the halacha, and the truth of the matter is, the Torah, it's not necessary for the Torah to tell us the details, because I would know them even if the Torah wasn't telling me that. Okay? So in other words, the Gemara is, so to use a funny word, playing with the concept of Einus, the rapist, and the defamer. So first the Gemara thought the defamer is worse. I'm sorry, the rapist is worse. So the Gemara says, okay, if the rapist is worse, then because the Torah says by the defamer, you have to marry her. By the rapist, for sure you have to marry her. I would know that anyway. Right? So why does the Torah tell me by the rapist you have to marry her? If I would know it anyway. So Gemara says, so what are you going to do with the extra words? We're going to put it for afterwards. Meaning it's not a positive followed by a negative. It's a negative followed by a positive. We're just going to move it over. So then the Gemara says, no, you can't, because defamer is really worse than the rapist. Right? Because he has two punishments. He gets whipped and he pays. and the rapist only gets the payment, no malchus. So Gemara says, okay, so let's do it reverse now. If the defamer is worse than the rapist, right? So then, let the Torah say by the rapist you have to marry her, and then the defamer who's worse, for sure would have to marry her. Right? But I don't need the extra pasuk because it's extra. So why is there an extra pasuk? So let's move it from the defamer to the rapist. And let's not put it before, we'll put it after. So the Gemara is just turning it around, but bottom line from this whole Gemara is that we are having now by the rapist that the positive mitzvah follows the negative mitzvah rather than preceding it. And that's why he wouldn't get malchus. But in a normal circumstance, when the positive mitzvah comes before the negative mitzvah, you would get malchus. But now the Gemara is going to ask, but the Gemara is going to argue now the opposite way. But you can't learn out the defamer from the rapist. Why? Because the Ika Lemifrich, you can refute, like we said before. Mala Einis Shekein Asamaisa. The rapist did an action, and the defamer didn't. So in that respect, the rapist is worse. So again, you can't learn out one from the next. In other words, the Gemara thought at the beginning, there's rapist and defamer. One is stricter than the next. So we can learn out the lenient from the stricter. The stricter from the lenient. But the Gemara says each one has a strictness that the other one doesn't have. So therefore you can't learn out one from the next. And if you can't learn out one from the next, I need both sentences where they are and I can't play games with them. I can't move them around because I need them for themselves. Yeah, and I know I understand what you're saying. Yeah, you're right. It's going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
The action is worse.
The Gemara says each one has its advantage and disadvantage. That he did an action. It's worse. In other words, the rapist is worse, the anus is worse because he did an action. The Maitzi Shemra, the defamer, is worse because he gets two punishments and the rapist gets one. So basically, the Gemara is answering now, you can't learn out one from the next, which was the premise of the whole thing, that because you can learn out one from the next, you have an extra pasuk to move it to where you want to. You don't have any extra psukim. Because if the Torah only told me one, I wouldn't be able to learn out the next, because each one has a strictness that the other one doesn't have. That's what the Gemara is going to ask now. By Meitzi Shemra, that's exactly what the Gemara is going to go into now. By the defamer, what's the case? The guy comes after he's married to Bez and says, hey, she's not a virgin, right? Over there, the Torah says, also, she should be his wife. So the Gemara is going to ask now, that's for sure extra. They're married, of course it's his wife. All the Torah would have to say is don't divorce her. But what does the Torah say? She should be his wife. He's not allowed to divorce her. But they're married. Of course he's his wife. If the Torah didn't tell me she should be his wife, I wouldn't know she's his wife. They're married. Yeah, but it's still extra. The Torah should have said you can't divorce her. The Torah says, be his wife. She is your wife. You can't divorce her. But I don't need to tell me. Now the Gemara is going to go with a different pasuk. The Gemara says now, it's like six, seven lines before the lines get wide. Ela l'yema, the Torah shouldn't say, le'si eli'isha, that she should be his wife, v'yemeitzi shemra. Shadei Ishtay, because it's his wife. Lama Nemat. So why does the Torah say by the defamer that it's your wife? He's married, it's his wife. So Imeini Inyan LeMeitzi Shemra, if I don't need it for Meitzi Shemra because it's your wife, Tenei Olin Yenainis, put it for the rapist. And if I don't need it before at the rapist, because the Torah already says it, so put it afterwards by the rapist to make the positive follow the negative. So the Gemara says, no, but you can't. The Eima, I'll tell you something else. What's the Gemara saying until now? The Gemara is saying until now, if I don't need it for Meitzi Shemra, put it for the rapist. The Gemara is asking a very simple question. I need it for Meitzi Shemra itself, maybe. Because I also want the positive mitzvah to follow the negative mitzvah. By Meitzi Shemra itself. By Meitzi Shemra, the Torah says, be his wife. You're not allowed to divorce her. But if I don't need the first pasuk, don't stick it to anus. Don't put it to the rapist. Put it by Meitzi Shemra itself for afterwards. That it's a lava nitikla essay, that it's a positive mitzvah following the negative mitzvah, and that you shouldn't get whipped. Why am I sticking it to anus? If anything, I should keep it by itself, by Meitzi Shemra. That Meitzi Shemra should also have a positive mitzvah following the negative mitzvah. Meaning, what does this mean? Let's clarify the concept over here. As a rule, negative commandments get malchus, get lashes. Okay? Unless the Torah tells me you don't. But that's the rule. If there's an action and it's a regular negative commandment, you get whipped. You get lashes. Sometimes the Torah says to me, you don't. Why don't you? Because I'm giving you a positive mitzvah following the negative commandment. And therefore you could fix it. So the Gemara is saying over here, there's a positive commandment by the defamer, by Meitzi Shemra, you have to marry her. Don't divorce her. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, marry her? You're married already. So I don't need that pasuk. So the Gemara wants to stick it to the rapist to make it a positive following the negative by the rapist. The Gemara says, no, hold on a second. If anything, I'm going to use it for the defamer itself. First the Torah says a positive mitzvah, then the negative mitzvah. If I don't need the positive mitzvah because it's understood that they're married, move it by its own mitzvah afterwards, that it's a positive mitzvah following a negative mitzvah, that you shouldn't get whipped by the defamer. Why are you putting it by the rapist? If it's a pasuk by a defamer and you don't need it at the beginning, put it at the end where you do need it to teach me that you don't get whipped. Why are you sticking it to the rapist? If anything, charity begins at home, I should put the pasuk by the defamer. Yeah, but that's what the Gemara is asking. If you're playing with this pasuk and you're moving it around to make somebody not get malchus, so the first one that shouldn't get malchus should be the guy himself, the defamer. Why are you moving it to the rapist? So based on that, he shouldn't get. Huh? The Gemara is asking a very simple question. You say, I don't need it by the defamer. I don't need the pasuk by the defamer, so we're going to put it for the rapist. The Gemara says, 1 minute, you need it by the defamer. Use it there. Why are you putting it somewhere else? Use it by itself. Move it instead of before, move it after. And if it's after, then you don't get malchus because it's a negative followed by a positive. And a positive rectifies the negative, so you wouldn't get malchus. And the Gemara answers, Enoch Hanami, you're right. You're right. But Va'asa Ein is Vigamma Mine. The Gemara Taka says, by the defamer, you're right. If he divorces his wife and he remarries her, he's not going to get malchus because he rectified it. And the rapist, you learn out from the defamer. The Gemara says, you're right. The pasuk, we're not moving to the rapist. We're keeping the pasuk by the defamer. that if a guy divorces his wife, he would get Malkus, but if he remarries her, he rectified it. So then he wouldn't get Malkus. And the rapist, we learn out from the defamer. That just like the defamer doesn't get Malkus if he remarries her, the rapist also won't. What? No, the Torah says don't divorce her. It's negative. No. He married her back. Torah says don't steal. If you steal, pay. But he fixed it. He fixed it by undoing it. By remarrying her. Like what? A guy puts a tefillin and the next day says, I'm sorry I did it. What did he do wrong? You're not going to find it by any positive mitzvah. Give me, for instance. I mean, to give you an example. For instance, the Torah says there's a mitzvah shiluach hakanya, you have to send away the mother bird if you want to take the eggs. So over there also the Torah says, don't take the mother with the kids, which is a negative mitzvah. Then the Torah says, shaleach to shalach ha'saim, send away the mother. So if a guy takes the eggs together with the mother, he transgressed a negative commandment. But if he sends away the mother bird, he rectified it again. The Torah says, don't steal. Don't steal. Then the Torah says, which is a negative mitzvah. Then the Torah says, a positive mitzvah, give back what you stole. So then you wouldn't get Malkus. Here the Torah says, don't divorce the woman. He did. But if he remarries her, he undid the divorce. Unless if he's a Kohen, like we learned, then it's impossible for him to keep the mitzvah, then he's going to get whipped. Because he can't do the positive mitzvah. He's not allowed to. He's not allowed to marry her. We're not going to let him. What? Torah says. The Rambam says, whoever says that mitzvah is out of kindness, you tell him to be quiet. The Shatkin, I see. Tell him to be quiet. It's not true. This is what the Torah says. Not out of kindness. That's what the Gemara says. Ha'emel kansi b'yagir rachamecha. The Gemara says. Whoever says about this bird that God's kindness has come, you know, Mishatkin, I see. Keep him quiet. Because it's not out of kindness. Because Hashem said so. That's it. Like the Rambam says, if Hashem would be kind to animals, he wouldn't let us do shechita. That's what he says. Even though it's biblically forbidden to torture animals. Tzar Bali Chaim is, it's an argument if it's rabbinic or biblical, and the Gemara says, the halacha is it's biblical. No, because he doesn't deserve it, the Gemara says. The Gemara, it's interesting to understand what the Gemara means. In Psachim, there's a Gemara in the fourth parak of Psachim, two or three pages, that talks all about how bad an illiterate is, and the Gemara curses him out one language after the next. That you think, where's the Avos Yisrael of the Gemara, you know? But it doesn't apply to today. The post Gemara, that whole Gemara doesn't apply today. But the Gemara says, Amar, it's also lachol bosi. He's not allowed to eat meat. One of the reasons is because the Gemara says you're not allowed to do business with him. You're not allowed to talk to him. You have to spit on them. You're not. The Gemara talks about, you know, real, all the things the Gemara talks about. But it says you can't do it because he doesn't deserve to eat meat. Yeah, the question what the Gemara means. But Amar is a deliterate. Yeah. No. There's nothing to do with the Gemara.
No, not the Gemara, but the
Ten Commandments. Then they should take in God we trust off money too. All the atheists should never use money because it says in God we trust. They really shouldn't use money. The Rebbe once explained, it's a very important concept, and to get to this Gemara, it's about what you're talking about. Separation of church and state. Separation of church and state with the founding fathers of the Constitution. The reason why they made separation of church and state was to keep the state out of the church, not the church out of the state. They came from England with religious persecution. That's why they came to America, to have freedom of religion. So what the whole amendment, in the Constitution is to keep separation of church and state. What they wanted when they made the Constitution was to keep the state. The government shouldn't control my religion. They didn't say to keep religion out of the government. Just think about it. The separation of church and state was to keep state out of church, not church out of state. So God belongs in government. They didn't want the government mixing in how they can serve God. You know, you could do this, you can't do this. That's what they didn't want. But they didn't want God out of the government. On the contrary, the founding fathers were all believers. That's why they wrote, in God we trust, and therefore, you know, all these things. Of course they should. But anyway, that's not... But the Gemara is going to just, to get back into this Gemara, the Gemara is going to discuss though. So the final answer of the Gemara is, you're right, we learned it out from Meitzi Shemra. Meitzi Shemra has an extra pasuk before he should be his wife. We don't need it before because they're married, so put it afterwards. And the rapist, we learn out from Meitzi Shemra. So the Gemara asks, how are you going to learn it out? Again, the Gemara is going to ask the same. You can't learn it out again because each one has something the other one doesn't have. Malam Meitzi Shemra, Sheken Lo Yasim Mais. The defamer never did an action, but the rapist did. So how are you going to learn one thing from the next? Elam Rava said, okay, it's a whole different approach. Kol Yamav Bamud V'Chayzer. All the days of this rapist's life, the Torah says, the Gemara is going to say a different story. The Gemara is answering a whole different answer to the whole Gemara. Before there was a problem, why did Rabbi Yechanan want to change his mind? Because Rabbi Yechanan said, when the positive mitzvah is first, followed by a negative mitzvah, you get whipped. And the Gemara asks, so why by the rapist, the din is, he didn't get whipped. And here, it's the positive mitzvah before the negative mitzvah. Rabbi Yechanan said before you got whipped. He said over here's a different reason. Because by the rapist, the Torah adds two more words. Lo yuchal legarsha l'shalcha kol yomov. Over there, the Torah says, you can't divorce... The Torah just doesn't say you can't divorce her. The Torah says you can't divorce her all the days of his life. What are those two extra words, all the days of his life, adding? That the Torah says, you are under constant obligation to marry her, even if you divorced her. So basically, those two words are making a positive mitzvah following the negative mitzvah, even though the positive mitzvah is really first. If you look in the Chumash, it says, you have to marry her, the rapist has to marry the girl, and you're not allowed to divorce her. But then the Torah adds two words, all the days of your life. Which means, those two words are teaching us, you have a constant mitzvah to remarry her if you ever let her go. So the Gemara says, forget everything we spoke about before. Just drop it. Forget it. I'm answering your new answer. This is not a positive mitzvah followed by a negative mitzvah. Yes, it is. But Kol Yomov is a positive mitzvah following the negative mitzvah. And therefore the Gemara says you wouldn't get whipped. Because it's a negative mitzvah followed by a positive mitzvah. So you basically have positive, negative, positive. But it's still a positive mitzvah, Kol Yomov, to So therefore he says, over there you don't get Malkus. But a normal case of a positive mitzvah first, followed by a negative mitzvah, Rabbi Yechon would agree, you get whipped. You would get whipped. So, what? The Gemara answer is only good answers. Even when we don't understand it, the Gemara's answer is good, we just don't understand it. Doesn't matter, he would be forced to marry the second one anyway. Yeah. Right. Yeah, Kohen can have many wives too. The only one who's restricted, what we read in today's Parsha, in today's Chitas of Chumash, a king was limited to 18. That was his max. But another man could have 100 wives, providing he's able to support them. Yeah? He had to marry only Tzula, but, you know. Only a Kohen could have only 18. David HaMelech had 6, and the Navi said to him, if it's not enough, I'll triple it. So the fact that the Navi said, I'll triple it, shows only 18. Sfardim today could have 2 wives, if they don't live in America or Israel. If they live, a Sephardic Jew lives in Morocco, today he can have 2 wives. In a country where there's polygamy law, so then you're not allowed to, because of the law of the land.
Mormons
also have
wives.
Yeah? Not in America, though. Everything comes from us. Everything comes from the Jews. We're first. Yeah. Okay, we'll stop here.